Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. You know, I really believe a lot of what's going on has a very strong prophetic meaning. Everybody's washing their hands. And the Word of God says, wash your hands, O you sinners. Amen? And then everybody's into, let's have sanitizing, the sanitizers are out. Well, sanitizers would be in the spiritual realm. I would be talking about sanctification, being sanctified, getting rid of the evil, being made holy. It's like a deeper inner kind of cleansing. And so the Lord, is using this entire thing prophetically. Amen. And he's waking up his church. And I'm hoping that you're awakened and that you're crying out. My prayer is that those who aren't in church this morning are really knowing there should be a heart desire to be in church, to fellowship together. The Word of God says, in the last days, don't forsake the fellowshipping together of the believers, as will be for some reason it's going to be happening in the last days. Well, hello, I guess we're figuring out what that scripture is about now more than ever, besides just being on social media and this and that and forsaking the fellowshipping together. We need to pray that this thing flattens, because the church should not be in this predicament and should not, I'll just be honest, our constitutional right is that we can gather together and we can pray. And we're to, that's why, do you realize that's actually why they left Europe and came to the United States, led by the Holy Spirit, so that they could never be told, you can't worship like that, you can't gather like that, these are the rules, this is how it works. And God says, no, this nation's going to be set up for people to worship God. This United States of America is different than most nations. Israel's different, and the United States is different, because God specifically said, we're breaking away from covering doctrine, we're breaking away from organized religion, and we're bringing a people to this nation who can worship God in spirit and truth. And so we need to ask the Holy Spirit, what is that to look like in my life? And so I'm going to get into Psalm 91. But the Lord gave me some revelation about that even has to do with covering. And so, and I will say, and this is my personal thing, I'm like ticked off that the enemy would come and try to steal God's people from worship. The devil is laughing, people, okay? He's laughing. Now, God's going to laugh louder, because God's going to turn this round and awaken the people who want to be awake. But it's also going to begin to show the people who really, church doesn't really mean anything. Coming together with believers doesn't mean much. You know, they're perfectly happy not being biblical and something's wrong with the body of Christ when the body of Christ wants to isolate and do their own thing. And so God is shaking things, he's shaking things. And so, and I'm not going to get into right now, how is this God? How is this the devil? I'll say this, whenever anything happens, amen. Whenever anything happens, our response as believers is always the same. We always go before the Lord. So if the enemy's doing it, we need to go to God and say, why is the enemy doing this? Why is he allowed to do this to me? Why? What is it in my heart that has not got divine protection? Or, Lord, show me what to do. Cleanse my heart. Show me what to do. So I can stand up and take authority over the enemy. So I can walk in peace and I can walk where you want me to walk, Lord. Show me what to do. Amen? And if it's judgment from the Lord, it's the same thing in that sense. Lord, where have we walked away from you? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's kind of the same either way, in the sense of what you always have authority over the works of the enemy, unless there's things in your heart the enemy still owns. And people, just look at all the empty churches, and we know there's things in people's heart the enemy still owns. Just look at the entertainment that's in the church instead of true worship. Just look at the what people watch on television and what the market is for you know, things, and you'll see. I think personally the prophetic word for all the toilet paper disappearing is God's people needs a major deliverance. Amen. This nation needs to be delivered. This nation, whenever I would have spiritual dreams, and the Lord was, as he was teaching me how to do deliverance ministry and how to set people free from things, and whenever he dealt with something in my heart that he wanted me to see and hate and be delivered from, he would give me a dream with the bathroom in it. You know, and it'd be one of these really humbling dreams, like, you know, some of you maybe had a dream where no matter what, you can't get the bathroom door closed or something's going on. And I said, Lord, there was a season when I had all these bathroom dreams. This was quite a few years ago. I'm like, Lord, what is all these bathroom dreams? He goes, there's things I want to deliver you from that's from the world or generational curses that have gotten to your life. And so I begin to interpret the bathroom dreams through an understanding of deliverance. But then when I'm asking the Lord about, you know, some of these really wild and crazy things happening, like all the toilet paper disappearing, when we don't have a shortage of toilet paper, we just have people hoarding it in fear. Oh, and the Lord put on my heart, well, this is going to be prophetic, like everything. Everything that happens has a prophetic meaning. Why? Because everything starts in the spirit realm, people. Everything starts in the spirit realm, which means it has a prophetic meaning. So the Lord has put on my heart, all the toilet paper is like your dreams I used to give you when I was dealing with teaching you how to do deliverance and teaching you to yourself find yourself free from the things of generational curses in the past. So anyway, so this thing is just very prophetic. And everything is, amen? Every ruler, every principality, everything that happens, God created it, amen? Now, it fell, but God knew it was going to fall. And so God is really the author and the finisher of our faith, amen? And so in all of this, to me, this is an extremely wake-up call. 911 was a big wake-up call, and this is wake-up call number two. This is a wake-up call that says that it's time for the church to cleanse their hands, get back into sanctification, get back into the Word of God. And if you look at what has been closed down as an idol in this land, you're looking at Hollywood. You're looking at or going to the movies and going to the plays and all this kind of entertainment. You're looking at just the whole entertainment industry. You're looking at sports. There's been prophets who were saying this was going to happen. And I literally didn't myself see how it was going to happen. I just, you know, this is outside of our thinking that everything would close down over a virus, to be quite honest. Thank the Lord, people, that people aren't actually dropping dead everywhere, and this isn't something that kills everyone who gets it. Can you imagine the panic then? Oh my gosh, church, we have got to raise up. We have got to begin to be people who believe that we're going to be the answer and not in hiding when God wants us to shine. And so I think the biggest thing that God is doing in the churches, and I encourage everybody watching this, I encourage everybody who's going to see this, I encourage every leader and pastor who down the road is going to see this, you had better begin to get into training and equipping the people God brings to you, or he's going to quit bringing anyone to you. And you better begin to train and equip them in the things that Jesus Christ did, laying hands on the sick and they recover, and real faith and how to walk in real faith and real deliverance and really how to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, it's amazing how big the underground churches are in nations that close down the church. And I just encourage everyone to begin to pray to hear God for when that season comes. Because if that season comes to America, you're going to have to be led by God of where to go and when to be there and how to be there. Because God will always have his remnant. He'll always have his church. And the biggest thing the Lord's put on my heart for any of us, and my husband and I, we've lost some things in this financially, but I'm going to tell you what, the Lord, you need to lay down your idols. You know, we don't serve man. I mean, we don't serve man. We serve God. We don't serve money. We need to lay down our idols. We need to lay down those things that you're watching being seized in one way or another during this time. And so this is a time for everyone to quit pointing fingers at everyone else and looking what everyone else is doing and judging everyone else, and sit and have time where God shows you you. Because you'll be amazed at how much you do not look like God wants you to look yet. Amen? And so I'm praying, and so I told the Lord, and I really meant this, I started listening to some different teachers on YouTube. Everybody, what if something happened to the internet and cable at this exact same time? The reason everybody's still smiling and happy is they still have heat and air condition, and they still have internet or television. What's going to happen if we're not led by the Holy Spirit when all that's cut off at the same time? Amen? Things can get really bad. I'm not saying this to be, I'm saying we need to be led by God. We need to belong to Jesus Christ. We need to be people who take seriously, we're in the end times. I'm not saying when that could end. You're a mocker, the Bible says, if you don't believe it and you make fun of it. And so we have to sit here and say, okay, Lord, now it's an exciting time if you're born again. Because the worst thing that can happen to you is we're going to heaven. Amen. And I think God is trying to wake us up to his priorities. You know, what are his priorities? And so we need to really cry out. We need to be powerful people. We need to be people filled with the Holy Spirit. And I look at some of the different posts and the things, even from pastors and leaders, and I'm like amazed. It's like, my goodness, we've been to nations and one time Karen and I went to this place in a nation, I won't say what nation, and we went in and they brought all these really sick people, like really, it was like in the village kind of little place. It wasn't like in one of the cities. And so we're laying hands on them and praying for them, and we get back in the car and we're like, we asked the pastor, so what did they have? And they had tuberculosis. You know, I mean, tuberculosis is worse than this virus. And what did we do? We thanked God and laughed and knew that God had sent us there. And we did use hand sanitizer later on the way. We always do. I'm okay with natural, being smart in the natural, amen? We didn't use it in fear. We laughed first. Amen? I mean, I could just tell you stories after story of God preparing us to know that the church should not be so afraid right now. Amen? God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and something. But I will say this, the church overall knows that she's not seen that many healings in the United States, probably anywhere. The church overall knows that if somebody walked into your church with this, there's not the power of God in that church to stop it from spreading. Amen? Amen. And that's the wake-up call, and that's why it's probably good that most churches are listening to what the president is asking. But at the same time, when will we be a people where the president will say, we need the church? Will you come together and pray? Can we bring sick people there and you lay hands on them? Amen? See, the church has got to be the answer when this test run is over. Amen? And so my prayer is that every person who believes in Jesus Christ begins to realize it's a new season. It's a season for me personally to take serious that God means this stuff. And not just this pretended stuff. And I'm talking about real power. You know, I started reading a book, I don't know how much I'll read, it's pretty big, on John G. Lake. I read him years ago. But John G. Lake was during the real epidemic that was killing people left and right. And he would lay hands on, they were healed. Now, he actually lost his own wife and daughter to a virus or something prior to that, some kind of fever. But he decided in that place of death to self, he decided, I want to know the truth about God and his power, the truth about God and his healing. Amen? He asked God to teach him. And I remember, and I've said this before, but it's my story. When Lauren died, and I was not expecting that. I wasn't afraid of something like that happened. I had no idea that something bad could happen to me. Because honestly, there is a lot of pretended faith being taught. And there is a lot more of faith being taught about protecting self than loving God. See, I'm protected in Christ. I'm not protected because I'm afraid I need to be protected. Anyway, and so God's going to shake up how a lot of this is taught. Because I'll be honest, the faith movement came, amen, And there was some healings, but there were more healings before that movement with when God had that healing revival with Oral Roberts and different ones. Amen? And that hasn't been produced from the faith message. Amen? Amen. Let's be honest. There's been some, because it's the Word of God, but it's only those who took from the Word of God and got the heart of God, amen, and began to walk in the presence of God. And so we've had the prophetic movement, which has all been about the presence of God, praise God, for the most part, right? We need to watch God smash all this together and bring forth a people who know God, a people who have seen healing and will see healing, and a people who are connected to the headship of Christ, so we're not always praying for the same people over and over and over. And the whole world knows that most of the people in the church, the percentages of those healed is not probably that much greater than the rest of the world, at least not in the United States. And we need to be honest about that, because people are tired of hearing all the words without seeing the real power. Amen? And so I'm hoping that, like, I asked the Lord, Lord, teach me your ways. I remember when Lauren died, I didn't think this could happen to me. I was a faith teacher, and I still preach the Word of God. And I know that movement came from God, but it was a beginning course. It was not the chapter, the ending chapter, and that's the problem. People parked there, and it became almost irritating to people to hear it and not see it. I hear people clapping and yelling, and I know they're on meds. I know they're running to doctors. I know they're not even walking it even a little bit in their own life. Amen? And so it's time for it to be real, for real. It's time to get back in the Word of God, but it's time to also have a personal tutor. His name is Holy Spirit. And I do remember when Lauren went to be with the Lord that day when the tree branch hit her in the head. And I said to God, teach me. Teach me. Her body was still in the yard, and I said, Holy Spirit, teach me. I don't want to any longer go by this person's intellectual reading of the Word of God or this person and their own experience. I need you to teach me. And I want to tell you, when you're learning the things of God, number one, if you read it, believe it. But then ask Holy Spirit to help your unbelief. Then ask God to teach you his heart. God's word without his heart becomes legalistic. It becomes arrogant. It becomes judgmental. It becomes critical. We're supposed to have the heart of God. Why did God say that? What is he looking for? What is God looking for? What is God looking for in this? God is looking for in this, at least in my life and in the life of Christians, to lay down their idolatry. And I just yesterday, I was like, Lord, that's it. I'm not watching all this media stuff. I'm going to spend time in the Word. So I listened to maybe 6 hours of teaching yesterday on YouTube as I did gardening or cleaning or whatever. You can do things. We live in a country that's so blessed and a technical age that's so blessed that you can actually do your yard work while you're listening to powerful teaching and worship. Amen? You can actually have a church in your home right now for your children. Have them come together. Everybody really worship. Put somebody on television to teach or preach, or you do it. But something real, and teach them something important. Help them not to be afraid. Now, I haven't been afraid with this, and I wouldn't be afraid if this were people dying. I'd be crying out for God, what do we do? What do we do? Amen? And we should be having supernatural, powerful visitations with God as a normal part of life. And they need to be real. They can't be because somebody else had them and you want what they have. You need to want to know Jesus. You need to want to know Jesus. So last night, the Lord gave me a whole lot more on David. I'm not going to share that. Maybe Tuesday night. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord showed me a lot about David. Wow. David would not take revenge. David was amazing. I'm reading all this about David in 2 Samuel, I don't even know where, like three or four chapters. And it was when David had just come back. Absalom had just died, and it's the whole heart about how he wished it was him instead of Absalom. Anyway, I'm reading this, and there's more things in there where people who have mocked him, and he said, that's okay, and he's blessing people, and all the people are coming together. And even in that part, which was amazing, he actually put Absalom's commander, whose call was to kill him and destroy his kingdom, he put Absalom's commander as his commander instead of Joab. And it said he did it to bring unity to the nation. So we better be careful if God could actually encourage our president to bring people in who've actually been trying to destroy him as part of his plan to bring this nation back together. I will say that. That is the plan that God wants to bring out. That's the good God wants to bring out of this. God is tired of this nation divided. His nation. And I believe he's going to do whatever he's going to give the wisdom to Trump to do. And we need to not be fighting that because we don't understand this powerful God and the heart of David and the heart he gave David. David was more concerned about the entire nation coming together than he was about any kind of vengeance or mistrust against this one who tried to destroy him. It's amazing. Now, that one didn't live long because Joab, who was bad news anyway, came and killed him. Anyway, that's a whole other story. But by the end of it all, David's son Solomon took care of Joab. But when I'm reading this and I'm looking at David's heart of no vengeance, just obeying God. And here is the key to David. And like I said, we may go into more detail Tuesday. The key of David, which only God opens and God closes. He's the God who opens and closes for you. Was David's heart that he never blamed the people. And he never got angry at God. He knew whatever came into his life was because of sin in his life. He knew whatever came into his life was because of things he had to walk through because of his own issues of his heart. I mean, if people would really study David and come to that revelation that God is faithful even when we're not, and they would get this heart of David to say, God, okay. See, we spend so much time doing spiritual warfare that adds up to nothing. And the reason is we first have to get our hearts right. Because you would not be in that. You're not in that warfare because you're so spiritual. You're not in that warfare because you're so important. You're not even in that warfare because you know God. There are people who are more spiritual warfare who don't even know God. You're in that spiritual warfare because Satan owns something in you and he's coming in to rule you and hurt you and cause you to turn from God in bitterness. And so I encourage you, if you're not doing much this week, go to beautyforashes.org and check out all the videos there. Facebook, we have videos. YouTube, we have videos under, I don't know, I think it's Cindy Foster, Beauty for Ashes Ministries. Go and begin to be trained up and let God sanctify you and make you holy. And so as I'm seeking the Lord, I always seek the Lord, but he really showed me, you know, you've been watching too much news. I don't watch anything garbage at all. I didn't watch movies or anything. It's mainly anymore been political stuff for prayer. But the Lord says, yeah, but you've gotten yourself into this place of that. And truthfully, being on Facebook too much. And a lot of it's for posting or to when I see something on Facebook that releases something in the spirit realm to try to come against the things of God, I will put a counter thing on that. I'll say, well, break the power of that. Because the Lord will have us do that. But here's the thing. The Lord said, I want you so hungry to hear what I'm giving some of the new teachers who are coming up. And I tell people Beauty for Ashes, and some of it's pretty wild, and some of the wild stuff, honestly, Benny Hinn had seen some of this stuff years ago, but with Kevin, Zadai. And so he has all kinds of teaching, healing, he just flows, he has wild stories. But I encourage you, but also see what different people like, right now I'm interested in what is Perry Stone saying? What is Jonathan, how do you say his name? C-A-H-N? Khan saying, and France, what's the one, the really cool guy, Francis? No, Chan? Yeah, 10. There's just different. Mike Bickle. What a good time to go look at all Mike Bickle's teachings on the end times. Amen? And I encourage you to get out of the la-la-la, everything's great mode and get into a serious sobering. You know, the Lord told us to get off the playground years ago. I think he did it to us ahead of time to prepare us for some of the messages he has for us now. And the truth is there is joy in the Lord. But I was so full of joy at my the last time I ever saw my daughter's face in with my natural eyes. I actually had a vision and saw her perfectly gorgeous in heaven, but I didn't know that. But that night I was so full of the joy of the Lord. Joy has nothing to do, truthfully, joy has nothing to do with somebody praying for you and you falling down and laughing. That's more of an inner healing. Amen. This joy is unspeakable and full of joy. It's like this place of completely trusting God, completely consumed with God, completely in his presence. And there's joy unspeakable and full of his glory. Amen? And so the Lord's going to begin to take everybody deeper. So wherever you're at in God, prepare yourself now to say, okay, I'm going deeper. Okay, and what somebody's deeper looks like will look different than someone else's. We're not comparing each other. We're not in competition. We're just to run the race set before us. And so I just want people to just know God is really calling us to wake up right now. So he gave me some really cool stuff. He also told me, don't be asking, like if you hear some of these people and they see the Lord and they have these visions and they get all these kind of visitations, the Lord's like, don't, how do you say this? Okay. Every born again believer, as they mature in Christ and as they grow in Christ, their spiritual eyes and their spiritual ears and the mind of Christ, in other words, their spirit man, should get so strong that they'll see things so clearly without their soulish man having to be the avenue to which they experience it. And so I was saying to the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, I read all these, and I'm having this awesome time with God. He's showing me all this stuff in David I'd never seen before. He says, look at this. I'm repenting. I'm like, God, I'm not ready. Who am I? I don't know how to do anything. God, forgive. If you really stay in the presence of God, you really don't get puffed up. You really get humbled. And not in some sad way, in a way like, oh, Lord, I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. Just do what you're going to do. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, all these people, you know, in the prophet, whatever, they're having all these visions and all these things. And I know I've seen things and I've had some supernatural experience. I said, but, and the Lord said to me, blessed is he who hasn't seen but believes. And the Lord said to me, Cindy, the goal here, he gave me, who was it, Elijah that opened the eye, that he had God open the eyes. See, Elijah could see it because of his closeness to God. The other people had to have their natural eyes open to the spiritual realm because of their unbelief and fear. And the Lord said, the key isn't that I open natural eyes to the spirit realm. The desire would be that your spirit man gets so strong in me that you see by your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears so that you can't just get up. One thing that bothers me personally about people who see with their natural eyes these things, and then people take that as that has to be truth because they saw it. Amen? It's truth if it's in the Word. Amen? It's only truth if it's in the Word. There's not this deeper, or let me see, there's not like these super people who are going to get things outside of the Word, and because they said they saw it or they heard it with their natural eyes or their natural ears, it makes it so. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, because you can't tell then the difference between deception and I'm not saying they didn't see and hear it, but the Lord's showing me that's not how we're led. We're led by his spirit. And the key is to spend time with him and walk with him. And I believe a lot of these people do. And the Lord is allowing this to get people hungry to know how real the spirit realm is. Amen? But the Lord's like, it's about your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and the mind of Christ and your spirit man coming to the forefront of who you are because of your relationship with me. And then your soul being renewed and your soul being under the influence. And that's going to affect your body. And then we're going to have healing. Then we're going to have people who are whole. Then we're going to have people with power. And so we've got to see the order of this. It's not about my soul and my physical being experiencing these things It's about my spirit man being connected to God in such a way that these things become real to my soul and the word of God becomes real to my soul and my natural body lines up with that and the power of God within my spirit man, amen, comes forth. Anyway, he was showing me that last night when I was doing the whole thing on David. But he told me to do the Psalms and to teach it this morning. And he was giving me, I know everyone's doing this, so that's cool. We need to go to these kind of scriptures. And it's not, I got to be honest, I didn't even have one single thought that this virus might kill me or even anybody I loved. I just, even the numbers didn't add up to thinking that, to be honest. I mean, just look at how many people are in the world. Just for 1.3 billion people live in China. And look how many died and it's over. I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm saying something different is happening here for the kind of shaking and destroying the economy and trying to bring some kind of world leadership. Something's happening here. And God's using Trump to stop it. God's using Trump to show that this isn't something we have to come together as the world. This is something he wants. God has set up nations, amen. God has set up nations. Even in Jesus' reign, people, there are different nations. And so, anyway, till we all get to heaven, amen. So let me go to the Psalm. Now listen to this. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and read it in the Amplified. But I actually love the word secret place that they use in LAV. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. So I saw secret place, and I know secret place is like that place where you commune with God and your spirit man, and your imagination is connected there, where you can see things in the spirit. Amen? But when I looked this up, I said, God, why do they call it shelter? And I looked up the word shelter here. This is amazing. It's when God is your covering. Well, that just solves why there's so much fear in the church. Most people look to man as their covering. Gosh, I didn't really want to say all this. Certain areas of the world right now are being hit extremely hard. And the religion of that area is the, if you want to say, the hotbed of where the church quit being a living stones of people being led by the Holy Spirit, but became an organized thing called the Catholic Church. And other prophets, Jeremiah Johnson had a dream about God judging the Vatican to say he wants his people free from that doctrine. Now, he doesn't see the doctrine part, but God showed me that's the part he fills in for me. He goes, I want my people back. I don't want them going to a building to look at a man or a woman and be led by them. I want them to be led by me. And what I would say is, church, wake up to this, because I personally don't want to lose the internet. Amen. I mean, if the whole church goes, yay, we'll just go online and we can stay home and we, you know, we're some of the big churches, we're big enough, we'll have all the money coming in and we'll just do this whole thing online and we'll do this and that. Wait a minute. If you don't understand that God is telling you to quit taking his place in the life of people, ho, then you're not going to get this. And he has greater means to cut you off from trying to take his place. Amen? So he's basically, he who dwells under the covering of the Most High. How many know that whatever is the closest to covering you is what really covers you? Amen? Like, you could say, well, no. Either God is your covering, and one of the names for the enemy is the covering cherubim. He likes to cover people. He likes to put religion to take the place of God. He likes to make man take the place of God, so he's taking the place of God. Amen? Amen? And so God is saying really clear, in the spirit realm, he's my covering. In the natural, my husband is, and I got teaching on that. And that's all has to do with the prophetic of what marriage really represents, which is why the devil hates marriage and is attacking it so bad. Everything is prophetic. So I want you to see this. And I'm just saying, if you believe in a man-made doctrine that came out of Catholicism during right around the, you know, when the whole thing with Constantine happened and the church became organized, then that doctrine will have you only not fearful if your pastor's not fearful or your leader's not fearful, because you're looking to them instead of God, and they're not your protection. Amen? A covering, the word covering, the word shelter, that means something that protects you from everything. It protects you from everything. And when you start to read this, you'll see all the things you're protected from. So we need to repent. We need to repent of you have to have a man-pleasing spirit to align yourself with covering doctrine. And it's very big. It's really what brought the churches into the dark ages. It really is what took away the power from the church. So people look to a few leaders and they put titles on themselves, and some of them still believe it. Jesus didn't die for a fivefold ministry to walk in power. He actually died for every single person to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Who would call on the name of Jesus Christ? Anyway, so he who dwells in the covering, he who recognizes that their covering is the Most High, that person will remain secure and they'll rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This goes on to say, whose power no enemy can withstand. So to really enter into the rest that God has for us, that I really live in, like this hasn't even fazed me. It is to enter into that rest because I know who covers me. Amen? And people who think that their husband or their spiritual covering, that is so wrong. No wonder you're freaking out. Amen? God is the only one who has authority over my spirit man in the whole world, in the whole universe, anywhere. Amen? And if he's not the one who has all authority over my spirit man, then he has really no authority in my life. I'm looking to man and trying to live in a pretended place of security. Amen? That's how bad this doctrine is. And I never saw this, but the Lord just showed me this morning to preach this. I will say to the Lord, now this is the person who recognized that their covering is Jesus Christ. Amen? That God himself covers them. That God himself, not people. And today, as you're sitting here somewhere and you're not near your pastor, and you're not near your apostle or your prophet or your evangelist or your teacher, whoever, wherever you are today and you're sitting there, they're not there. You're probably watching them, some of you, or you'll watch them later. There's a big difference than them being there and you able to see them on TV or hear them on the radio. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is actually there, people. God is actually there. Do you really want your covering to not even be there? God's not going to share this. And people are being shaken. And that's why people still fall into all kinds of things that the world has, no matter that they say the right things. This isn't about convincing your mind and calling that belief. This is about understanding and walking with God and recognizing who he is and knowing him personally, each person for themselves. And May 15th, I think something, May 15th, 16th, and 17th, something like that, we're going to be having Bill Sutton here, and he's going to be talking about the bondages on Freemasonry and Catholicism. And it's not like just them. They're just the ones that's so strong in our nation that's stopping a real move of the Holy Spirit. So he who dwells under the covering of the Most High, and that's him. He is the covering, okay? That's not like under covering doctrine of people. That person will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty. What does it mean to rest in the shadow? It means you know God is that close to you. That means you know that if you've ever get close to somebody's shadow, right now you would be breaking people's social distancing rules to get near their shadow. God says, don't social distance from me. I want you to recognize that your divine protection is when I'm your covering and you're secure and you rest, but you rest right that close to me. You never get further than my shadow. You never get out of my will further. You stay that close to me. And I will say of the Lord, And this is David declaring this. He is my refuge, my fortress. He is the place I'm going. He's my stronghold. He is the strong one in front of me. He is the one protecting me from those fires. I was telling the Lord, Lord, the numbers. He says, Cindy, if the enemy wanted to give this to you and you don't know who I am and you're not walking with me, he can jump around and do this thing. And that's why it's popping up here and there. And it's like, okay, Lord, forgive me for seeing this as a, but anything, amen? Anything that the enemy's doing or he's perverted is something that could potentially hurt somebody. Amen. Anybody. You're not on your own safe. But everyone who recognizes Jesus Christ for real, not just in their head, but in their heart. No, he's the one who's closest to me. I'm within his shadow. I'm talking to him. I'm hearing him. The reason some people can't hear God for themselves or get into a false thing because they're following the way another person hears God is because they buy into this covering stuff. I don't know about you, but if you're that close near a shadow, you should be able to hear him. Amen. So I'm going to hang out with him. And this was, now think about this. This was David speaking before the Holy Spirit lived in David. Our covenant with God is greater than this. Not only did David have to hang out close to God's shadow, amen? And it always had to be that close of a friend. We got God inside of us. We're covered from the inside out. And this is what we need to say. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust, who I have great confidence in and whom I rely on. And we need to make these things real. Your soul cannot abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Only your spirit can be seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen? For he will save you from the trap of the fowler, from the deadly pestilence. That's why I say, you know, when my son had to take really heavy, heavy-duty medications, and these medications... we were, you know, at one point, it was some horrible things they told us. Blindness. Diabetes. He would never be over 4 feet tall. I mean, all these things because of the medication, not because of what he was fighting, this autoimmune thing. And every time I would take this word, not with just my brain, but I would get in the presence of God until the word became real in my spirit. Amen? Until my spirit, who knows God and walks with God and is one with God, would break through to my soul. And I would read the word and my spirit that's one with God would connect with this word of God's. Amen? And it would become life. Not a formula that brings death and works sometimes. But it would be the life of God grabbing the powerful written word of God and combining my faith and my spirit with my soul. And then with my body, I would say what God says. And I would stand against what the doctors were saying. And I would say, break the power of that. I don't receive that. In the whole time, it's not fake. This is the part that gets me. When people just do this with their soul, it's not hardly ever working. If you can do it easily, it's not real. When a doctor is sitting there and telling you a terrible report, when the media is over and over and over telling you a bad report, and you just la-di-da, it's in your soul. You're not really protected. Amen? It's when your spirit has, in your fellowship with God, and you're hanging out with God, and you're going after God, and he's your only covering, and you know it. And he tells you, this is your word. Fight with this. He tells you, not some other Bible teacher. Well, should we have teachers? Yes. But he has to be the one to have you tune in. He has to be the one from your spirit to your soul to hit it. To go from your soul to your spirit doesn't work. It has to come from your spirit. Your spirit has to be one with God. That's why I must be born again. Amen? And then I get the word, and then God confirms the word, and then somebody preaches the word, and it's not a repetition of what I've heard 100 times said the same way, but it's anointed by God to say, this is how it works. Not some false thing, even that I would kind of walk in like, well, gosh, the chances of getting this are almost nothing. Well, that's true. But if the devil decides you're going to be one to get it, you're going to be one to get it. Because he's got it out there and he's releasing it everywhere. But if you get before God and God tells you, no pain. You know, the Lord told us years ago, no one would be hurt in this building or really die in this building. And we had a man fall from the roof, crack. I mean, you could hear his head hit. He hit a case and then he hit the concrete floor. And he was all but dead. And all I could do, I didn't have time to go through a bunch of scriptures and all I could do is come out of the back room into why I saw him falling and scream, Jesus, and then like, you promised me. He didn't promise me because I read somebody else's book. He promised me because I sat in his presence and I talked to him about the liabilities and things of what he was calling me to do, and he promised me. Amen. This is a shakeup, people, to get a real relationship with a real God and to know him and to not depend on anyone else's relationship. People wake up, kids wake up, young people wake up, preach to your kids, because the day came when Job's faith did not protect Job's kids. Amen. But God will continue to protect as we hear him and seek him. What God is telling me today is put aside your prearranged thinking of how you're okay and enter into a place so that you don't have to come face to face with the enemy in such a way to find out what you have is not really based on your relationship with God. Amen. Does that mean I have to be a long, deep relationship with God? No, I can be a brand new believer. And if I know that he's come in and I begin to recognize that and I begin to pray in tongues and I begin to build up my most holy faith and I begin to read his word, inviting Holy Spirit to come in. And I'm not looking to a man, I'm looking to God, but I'm listening and obeying and submitting to the authorities he's placed in my life to raise me up. Amen. Then I can walk in as much authority and power as somebody who's walked with the Lord in a deep way for years. Amen. The brand new believer has all authority over the enemy. But to him is given much is required. Amen. There's so many spiritual laws. The Holy Spirit's got to bring us into this. We have got to quit thinking that if I just read it, it's the same as living it. It's not living it until your spirit man is completely changed. Your spirit man is one with God and in complete agreement with God when you're born again. But your spirit man begins to break through to your soul. Your spirit man and the Holy Spirit begins to make the word of God life. Amen. It goes on, it says, he will cover you and completely protect you with his feathers. And under his wings, you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a wall. He's faithful. He's faithful when we're not. That's what David, when we're studying David, he had such an understanding that everything that was happening to him was because where he wasn't faithful. We've got to change our thinking and quit blaming God for the bad things and begin to recognize our fallen nature has made us prey to the enemy. Our fallen nature has kept us outside of the perfect will of God. And yet, the Holy Spirit, after the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the Lord ever interceding on our behalf, the very power that raised Jesus from the dead, God himself, the person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, who needs to be recognized on the planet today, in the church today, in your homes today, came and filled up your spirit, is one with your spirit, so that your spirit can have authority again over every work of the enemy. Amen? You will not be afraid of the terror of night. See, you will not be afraid. So if you are afraid, and I'm not talking about you've talked yourself out of it, I'm talking about a real deep knowing. See, I'll tell you another example. Not being afraid can get you killed if it's not real. So we were in Zamboanga, and the Lord had me, it was wild. There was a major meeting of diplomats from the U.S. and from other, and I didn't know this. I was there on my first mission trip as a ministry, and we were there just to go and, you know, have meetings. I had no idea, Nilo, that nobody was supposed to go to Zamboanga, that they'd been in war with really the Muslims, and there's a lot of rebellion and fighting over that land, that part of that little part of Philippines. And so there was a big meeting there with people from the U.S., major people, and people from Islamic people. I mean, I'm talking the whole thing. And it was this big meeting. And God just so had it set up that we had to move our meeting to a big porch, which holds like 500 people, that was right connected to the exact place where they were having this meeting. And everybody had to walk through the same entrance that they went that way to the meeting, we went this way to the porch. And the first thing God had me do as a prophet, this is the first time I actually knew for sure I must have been one, is I picked up the microphone, and the first thing out of my mouth was warning them not to give away their land and to quit being so afraid of them and to stand up. And God sent a woman Christian pastor all the way to that meeting to tell them so. And I'm thinking, and believe me, Islamic people do not like women pastors. A lot of people in the church have a hard time, but boy. And I'm like, and then the Lord, are you ready for this? With about 500 people there, most of them not saved, most of them Catholic. Philippines is mainly Catholicism, like probably 97% of the population. And the Lord had me explain covering and how it came from Catholicism. And they renounced it. And people started throwing up everywhere. We never had people throw up at meetings. Fortunately, somebody had paper bags, and they were. And then you know what he had us do? He had us do a prayer circle with brand new, just got saved believers, and circle this porch and walk in a circle, taking authority over what was going on in that meeting. How's that for your first mission trip and speaking publicly? It was wild. We were so full of God. Oh my gosh, it was wild. But then, when morning came, and we asked some bodyguards, hey, are we still safe here? Because Muslims were all over this place, and they were ticked off. And he said, you need to be out before their wives and children are out. Well, I'm like, okay. So I went to ask the Lord. And Karen and I both got the same thing. Get out of here by tomorrow. Well, there were no airline tickets to get out of there. Well, we had met the governor during this trip. So I told Nilo, look, we're going to pray that they give us airline tickets somehow. If not, you're going to have to contact the governor and see if we can go stay at his retreat, because we got to get out of here. And of course, we have one person with pretended faith who I think hopefully has changed since then. He goes, well, I'm not afraid. I'm like, then stay and get killed. I don't care. We're out of here. I'm listening to God. I mean, this person, you know, oh, it's just like kids, you know, they're little and they think they know everything. And yet they're pretending they're school teachers, but they're not school teachers. And so I'm like, well, you do what you want. And so we told him, well, it was supernatural. They got us, I think it was 11 to 16 in our group. I can't remember. I think maybe 11. And they got 11 tickets out. So when we got to the airport the next morning, they took us right away into a back room to hide us. And they told Karen that he was the CIA, and they've been watching us, and they didn't know, they couldn't believe we were there, and they wanted us out. They got us the tickets. And we're real. We were scared to bits when we got back to Manila. We got in a hotel that didn't have windows. We were so glad there were no windows. We just couldn't wait to get home. Because we're real people with fear and trembling, amen? But we know our God, and we're learning, and we're growing, and we're maturing. And people just walk along with a happy, happy, nothing can happen. That's fake. You can see it by studying the life of Paul, the life of John, anyone real in the scriptures. Amen? God's going to bust that. It's not going to protect you in this hour. You will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that lays waste at noon. I could tell you this, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 to your right hand. When I was in that typhoon in the Philippines, the worst one in recorded history, and I was praying and praying because the Lord had used us to turn typhoons at least 5 times, big, big typhoons. And I'm on this little island, and we don't, that had an earthquake not too much before then, and there was nowhere to turn this thing. This thing was so big. And we're like praying, like, Lord, and this is a scripture he finally gives me. Amen. See, we don't just take scriptures and repeat them and repeat them from our soul. Amen. We get in the presence of a real God who is our covering. Amen. And we ask him, show me how to fight this. Teach my hands to war. Give me the word that you have for me right now. And he showed me this scripture. Well, I knew we were going to be okay. That typhoon, that humongous typhoon, we were right in the middle. I don't know what happened, if the eye was so big or whatever. Our particular island never got over 60-mile winds. Everybody else got over 200-mile winds. We sat outside the whole time. It was raining a little bit under porch. And the worst thing we were fearing were the coconuts falling out of the tree to hit you because the trees were wiggling some. We couldn't believe it happened. We even had, Nilo had gone and stored up some food from McDonald's, so we had enough cold burgers and fries and some water to last so we could eat again. But he ran out that morning and got all they had, whatever. But when the thing was over, it was just like the Lord said, the first news came that 1,000 died instantly when the wave, a tsunami kind of wave came up from it and took out to sea. That was supposed to be where we were at. By the time we got back to Manila a day later, we were the first planes out. 10,000 people, they had reported, was in the paper, had died. And if it's real people, it shakes you up. If it's real, you cry. You cry for those families. You cry for what they're going through. You want to be home with your family. And I'm so over pretended faith and pretended prophets and pretended everything. I'm not saying they're not believers. I'm saying they are, but they need to grow into who they are in Christ Jesus and set people, just quit teaching doctrine that make people look to them. I won't even get into it. We went to a meeting while we were in Manila, and there was a guest speaker, and I can't remember his name, thank God, but if I said it, most of you would know. And he was doing this whole teaching on how you needed a father. Here's a whole church. They don't even know if their families are alive. They have churches in those areas. They don't even know if they're alive. Of course, the Holy Spirit wants everybody to pray, to intercede, to organize. And this guy, all he wants to do is tell you how great he is and how, because he's a father and who wants him to be their father and all this junk. And the pastor gets up and says, you know, I've never had a father except Holy Spirit. I'm thinking, except Holy Spirit? Hello? If I get to pick him, Holy Spirit. Okay, Holy Spirit. But I remember he had everybody standing up and said, I'm not letting this man lay hands on me. I said, Lord, I will interrupt this meeting if he, and our whole group's looking at each other because they're making him lay hands on everybody. He got to me and he went right past me. Because I'm like, Lord, I'm going to say something if he touches me. So if you don't want me to say something, it grieved me so much. It grieved the Holy Spirit so much that he was promoting his ministry and his anointing. And here is a hurting group of people who need to be interceding and praying and finding true comfort from the Comforter. Amen? And there's a lot of that going on because God has shaken the church. God is going to get people ready to hear stronger, more powerful, real messages. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but danger will not come near you. You will only be a spectator and look on with your eyes and witness the divine repayment of the wicked. Okay, I want you to see this. This is powerful. You'll witness the divine repayment of the wicked as you watch safely from being covered from the Most High. Call it what you want, but when these things are happening, there has to be wickedness involved that is being targeted by the enemy. Amen? That's allowing this kind of thing in this fallen world. And the whole idea is to, and God's perspective is, look to me, call me, let me be your covering, let me be your protection, come back to me, come to me for real, lay down your idols, let me deliver you from all wickedness, let me make you holy. Amen. And that's the cry of God right now. And everybody just having their cute little parties and not being more in the word, or thinking it can't come near me, but God hasn't spoken to you and you haven't prayed for all the people who are in such fear. And he's shaking me with this. I won't say I wasn't taking it seriously. I had no personal fear. And I knew that this is something different than what everybody's thinking. But I'm asking, I need more compassion. I need compassion. I had somebody call me from the UK, who's from India. And they don't even know. They closed everything. They don't know how they're going to be eating. They don't know where they're going to be staying. They can't leave the country. They have nothing. They just didn't hear from God when they should have gone home. Amen? And so we're praying for them. And then you've got people here, and you got people freaking out all over Facebook who are believers, and everybody doing this. Doesn't everybody know that everybody, if God isn't going to stop this thing, you're not going to stop this thing? I mean, just the math that they're saying, it's impossible. Do you know what I'm saying? We need God. We need to hear God. We need to see what he is doing and what he's requiring. Amen? And we had better take it serious, because he's got so many people. And I think it's awesome. He says in the word that before his return, he will turn the father's hearts to the children, their own children, people. Not you taking their place as a Christian leader. Ugh. Their own children. Well, guess what? There's a lot of dads in the house with their own children right now. And we need to pray that God will open our eyes to how we've allowed the ways of this world to destroy from us the gifts of our children. My sister and I were talking on the phone, and, you know, you ride your bike. I've been riding my bike through the neighborhood when it was nice last week and stuff. And it's amazing how many cars, I've never seen that many cars home even at Christmas. And how many families, there's a little family, a dad and his son were going fishing, because I live near a marina. And then one family, they didn't have anybody else, but their family's playing. And it's like, wow, this is much more the heart of God when he created families. And then when they, Lord, what do we do? How do we get to a place to recognize what's important? What are you really revealing and showing us? Then we got to pray for those where there's domestic violence in the family, where there's horrific things happening right now. And people who don't know how they're going to pay for that house, that their new job that they got under such a good economy gave them. And we've got to get serious about not being the ones to borrow, but the ones who can loan and to help out in these times. And it's like, Lord, show us what to do. This is really, if people say, this is a reset. It is a reset. And my heart is, I want God to reset me, amen, without this having to be worse. Because this could get really worse. You can't play with God and mock God and think this can't get worse. Amen? Amen? I'm so merciful. It's so merciful that in the midst of this, it's mainly people who are dying who are almost at the age to go home, for the most part. Amen? And it's attacking the lungs. The lungs always prophetically represent the Holy Spirit. The old ways of the church that do not understand who the Holy Spirit is, who have breathing problems, who have problems. The church that has problems not recognizing the Holy Spirit and his power, and they're not strong in the Holy Spirit. That's who God is shaking. And then in the prophetic, you see where it's playing out on human beings. God is very prophetic. Nothing just kind of happens. Because you have made the Lord, you have made the Lord. Not your pastor, not a church building, not some apostle on YouTube, but because you have made the Lord your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, your covering, you have chosen to be covered by God. to be led by God, to hear God, to walk with God. Does that mean you're not going to be led by God to submit to the fivefold authority he's placed in the church? No, it means he will have you submit to the fivefold authority in the church. Amen? It means you will do what he shows you when he shows you, and he will bring it all together because he knows what he's doing. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent, well, our homes. How many want to believe that? No, this is not coming near my home. Amen? This is not coming near my home, and I plead the blood of Christ, and I ask the Lord, don't let this near my son's home. Wake them up. The Lord showed us, and I've done this, the Lord on Friday night when we had a small prayer meeting, because we're gonna utilize this space, and we're going to have more meetings the longer this thing goes on, but they'll be small. So then nobody's just a spectator. Everybody's part of praying and interceding and crying out and sharing what God's showing them. Amen? But what you need to see is that the Lord showed me that the first move of his spirit in this upcoming thing that's about to happen and be poured out are the children. The families of true believers who've sown seeds into them are going to begin to come home. Or not to your houses, if they're old, please, but to the church, amen? That they've reaped the season of the worldly stuff and the different things and the places you messed up, amen? But there's going to be coming a first fruit of what God's about to do is going to be our families coming in, our children, those who still know God, and a lot of them believe in God, but they're not actively seeking God. They're not actively a part of the body of Christ, and God's going to be bringing them in. He showed me this. And he told me, he had me prophesy. I wish we had taped it. We didn't know what was going to happen. But it was so powerful. But it was like to begin to be bold with them in love. Begin to be bold. Pray. It's amazing. Mel Gibson has a movie that's about to come out sometime in the next year that's on Christ's return. What timing? What timing? We need to begin to pray and intercede now, that millions will be saved and get in the Word of God. Amen? That they'll see this. See, there's been a season of showing the goodness of God, and he is good. But the apostolic is going to look like more of the Ananias and Sapphira. You're going to see how good he is, but you're also... Why would he do that at the end of time? Because he's going to pour out his wrath, and it's not even fair or right if he doesn't show you that he has some. Amen? He's got to put the fear of the Lord back in the people. And we've gone too far with he's just so nice and he's so wonderful and he wouldn't do anything bad. You know, I mean, I had the spirit of error before I was walking with God hardly at all. I got saved at 7, but I was teaching. I went to church that totally didn't preach the word. And as I was a youth pastor, I was actually teaching that there was no hell because God's too good. So it's not for me to throw stones at all these people acting like we're going to dominate and take over the world and we don't have to worry, everybody's going to want Christ. The Bible's very clear that the people who love their evil and darkness are going to run from him. They run from the light, amen? And I did get fired from that job. Couldn't understand it at the time. But I was okay. Was I still saved? Yes. Was I a false teacher? No. I was just operating in a spirit of error because I didn't know. I still shouldn't have been preaching yet or teaching yet, amen? But boy, God has a way of changing us, amen? So let's just quit judging and criticizing everybody and let God do his God thing, amen? And pray for each other. Because we're about to see some big changes. But begin to pray, begin to intercede. The Lord had me, I won't get into details, but he had me actually recognize something someone said in my family and had me pray a healing for them without them even knowing it, taking them back to a place where they took in something to cope when they should have been afraid without God and they weren't. And the Lord showed me where they opened the door for this thing. And so now they're just not taken serious that God is calling them. And so it was so cool. So I got in the presence of God and I did this powerful thing. And the Lord, he wants all of us to do this, you guys, okay? Nobody can handle this, but you can't have a few leaders handling everybody's issues, amen? God wants you to be trained up and equipped, and you know how to go and win your family. You know how to pray, intercede, move in the spirit, and get clean hands. Get free from entanglements. The entanglements with other people block your prayers, period. It would be very sad to stand before the Lord one day and watch your children thrown into hell because you would not let go of the guilt trips, and you would not let go of trying to take his place in their life, and you would not let go of trusting him to do what he's going to do, however he tells you to do it. Amen? It won't be a cute thing. And there is a seriousness about being a believer. If you don't believe it, read the Bible, Old Covenant and New Covenant. It's nothing like the American version. Amen? Thank God he anoints. Thank God he's drawn us close. Thank God he draws us to come in fellowship with him. But there has to come a reverence of him and a real fear of walking in wickedness once you know him. Amen? You can't change the book of Revelations. You can't pretend it's already happened. If it has already happened, when did the bride get ready and Jesus come back? What, did he put the whole thing on pause? That's ridiculous. But it's being taught by most prophets in the prophetic movement. Wake up. If this doesn't wake you up, I don't know what's going to wake them up. We need to pray they wake up. He will command, listen to this, he will command. Now, I like the little translation of this one better. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. So angels have been assigned as ministering spirits to us, but we have to hear God. We have to release the word. That's what they operate on. And I was listening to one of the teachers last night that I've been listening to, the Kevin guy, and he talked about that God has these portals, these places where angels are dispersed. Well, I'm going to promise you this is one of those places. I'm going to promise you that's why we're going to have the small meetings and release as many as we can. And that's why the enemy's trying to stop it. But we have seen some powerful release of the Holy Spirit, releasing angels in this place. Powerful, like major powerful. Amen? It says, they shall bear you up in their hands. And we know this also is talking about the Lord. This is one of the scriptures even that Satan tried to tempt him with. They shall bear you up in their hands that you not dash your foot on a stone. You shall tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample them under your foot. So he's talking about authority, giving back the authority, even with nature and all that Adam walked in. Amen. This one says, they will lift you up in their hands so they do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, you will trample underfoot. Because he set his love on me. I think when I killed that little itsy bitsy snake the other day, I think God was showing me, this is how little itsy bitsy you really have authority. You know, you think you got it big, because don't compare yourself to others in the church. Compare yourself to me. Compare yourself to what I did and how, and I remember going down the driveway to smash that little tiny snake. And I think it was poisonous. So I think it was a little copperhead and they were very dangerous. So I was like, I can't just let him be out here. And I remember walking, I said, God, with your sandals, you smashed the serpent's head. I mean, the worst snake of all. And here I am just prophetically going to, Lord, you're really showing me I'm a wimp. You know, I've got to really rise up, God. Help me with this. It's amazing how God can take something if you don't use your own coping mechanisms and you seek him about what's going on. It's amazing. I don't want it to get worse to wake up. Amen? Amen? I don't want it to get worse for my family. I don't want it to get worse for this church. I don't want it to get worse for Virginia. Amen? I don't want it to get worse for the United States of America. Anyway, I don't want it to get worse. So I'm praying that people will share this and see this and hear this, and we begin to meet the bar that God has set. Everybody says, we want this thing to flatten. Amen? Well, God has a bar. Not a BA, you know what I'm saying. He isn't, well, he does actually, but it's the new wine. But anyhow, he only serves the new wine at his bar. But the standard that's set before he says enough. Amen? Amen? I don't think we're getting close to meeting it yet. And my prayer is that we do. My prayer is that we quickly do. My prayer is that we do. No one person can take the place of God and turn this around. I had somebody call, well, you prayed this and it did. I'm like, what are you praying? Are you so looking to one person? I'm not pretending that there's a single person on the planet who's able to stop this evil that's been released and what God's requiring to stop it. Amen? I know I can protect what he's given me to protect. Amen. I know I can do what he's shown me to do. But wow, talk about covering to an extreme. And that's somebody who knows better to say, well, you said this. So I said, well, what did you say? What has God shown you? Tell us what God's shown you. Have you even spent any time to see what he's shown you? It's amazing. When we're having this thing in May 15th, I'm telling you, people need it. People who are under covering doctrine and under Catholicism in a big way don't realize how blind they are. Monica's going to come and share some too. God has really opened her eyes to it. Because he set his love on me, therefore I will save him. I will seek him on high because he knows my name. He confidently trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never abandon him, no, never. So the Lord wants us to set our love on him and know, because our love is set on him, not the words that come out of our mouth. See, the words that come out of my mouth should reflect what's in my heart. Unless I'm following a formula, then I'm reflecting what's in somebody else's heart. And when I reflect what's in somebody else's heart, it doesn't operate in faith the way I speak what's in my heart. Now that's a good one. Amen? That's a good one. So someone could really have faith and say something from the Word of God and see a result, but you could say it because you read their book. Their book should only lead you to the author and finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ. And then you go to him and you say, Lord, you gave this person this scripture. What are you giving me? What's my word? Amen? I'm telling you, God is shaking people relying on someone else's faith. Because he set his love on me, the Lord says, because you set your love on me, I will save you. I will set you on high because you know my name. And that's where you really understand the power of his name. His name is my relationship with him, is I am one with him. Spirit to spirit, I'm married to him, amen? And so I can use his name, but I have to have a deep relationship with him to really believe that and walk in that, or I at least have to really believe. I can have a really baby relationship, but get that revelation and nobody has stolen it from me, and really in my spirit believe and walk in that authority, amen? He will call upon me, we'll call upon the Lord, and the Lord will answer us. When I am in trouble, I'll have him with me. The Lord says, I'm going to rescue you and honor you. And with a long life, I will satisfy you. And I will let you see my salvation. And salvation means healing, deliverance, eternity, prosperity. Everything that you need, God is going to show you. Amen? So, Father, we just come before you, Lord, and I just pray that you wholly destroy this false doctrine of covering, this hierarchy, this elitism, this thinking at all that someone is superior to someone else in your kingdom when it's all of us and you. Lord, that you would break down this demonic doctrine that has held your people in chains and such weakness, and anyone who breaks free from it is called rebellious. What a lie from the pit of hell. Father, you know how this is supposed to work. You know how real divine protection is going to come. So, Lord, I thank you and I pray, God, that you shake everything that can be shaken. Every demonic lie we've bought is truth, even from people who walk in great authority and power, but yet they have not let go of teaching other people to look to you and you alone. And so, Father, those who are watching today, I ask that they spend time to hear from you what you would say to them in this hour, what they should do, how they're to protect their families, how they're to see this line flattened. Lord, I just come before you. Lord, give your church revelation of how to flatten this line. I want it flattened, Lord, because I want this over. I want it flattened, Lord, because I don't want to have to cancel any more bookings at my beach house. I'm just honest. Lord, I want it over. I don't want people in this church or friends to lose their jobs. I don't want people to be sick. And I don't want people to have this disease, this attack over their names as the reason of their death. And Lord, I don't want to see America fall into the Antichrist system. And I thank you for Trump. Lord, he's crying out for this line to be flattened. He says he feels good inside. Oh, Lord, I come in agreement that the Holy Spirit in him is saying yes. And Lord, I pray, and it's not because people are social distancing, Lord, it's because people are listening to this president led by you. It's because you're turning things around for this nation. You're not turning things around for the Republican or the Democrats. You are turning things around for this nation under you. And Lord, you're going to pour out your Spirit. So Father, I thank you. And God, I just ask that everyone who hears this, whatever nation they're in, Lord God, would cry out for your mercy and hear you and get revelation from you to know what you're calling them to. And Lord, we ask that you would flatten this line, this panic line, that you would flatten the spirit of this, Lord, that it would flatten quickly and it would go down so quickly, God, that you would get all the glory. I thank you that the President of the United States yesterday, out of his own mouth over this nation with the media attacking him, the Prince of the Air trying to back him down, from his own mouth, Lord, he said, I believe God is going to answer prayers. He told people to pray. The leader of this nation, a Christian, maybe a baby, maybe an infant, but a believer in Jesus Christ, has declared as an authority in this nation for prayer and for this thing to flatten. And I come in agreement as touching right now. Everyone in this room, everyone listening, seeing this in America, but also other nations, that you can pray for your leaders, that you can begin to pray for godly leaders, that you can begin to cry out for your local leaders, whatever the Lord shows you to do. Every nation is different. Every nation is set in a different place, and God will show you and raise up voices for you. But we all have the same God to pray and to serve and to seek. But for this nation, who God, through our answer prayer, has supernaturally and divinely put Trump in position and is going to baptize him with his Holy Spirit. God, in this place, as Trump is seeking your face right now, Lord, surround him with voices who really know you, God. Let him hear. Thank you for Mike Pence. Lord, raise him up. Give him revelation. Give him dreams. Give him visions. Lord, instruct him, we ask in the name of Jesus. And we come in agreement as touching. If you're in agreement as touching, anybody watching this, we're going to do a prophetic sign. I want you to put your hands up like this. And when I say three, we're going to yell flatten. And we're going to turn our hands over at the exact same time. And keep them straight like flat. Amen? One, two, three, flatten, whoa, in the name of Jesus, flatten this line in America. We ask it in Jesus' name, in agreement with our president, in agreement with the hope you put in, with agreement of your Holy Spirit jumping inside of him going, yes, 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 say what I say, believe what I believe. And I thank you for hope. Hope is earnest expectation. This president is releasing hope, earnest expectation that this thing is going to flatten now. And we just give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, Lord, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And we just ask people to continue to pray and believe. No one knows what that place is before God flattens this. Amen. He's calling the whole church to this. Amen. He's calling the whole church to this. You all have a part in this. Share this. Get this word out there. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's time to quit looking to one person. The president is doing what God's called him to do. Ho! That's awesome. That makes it a lot easier if the church would do what God's requiring her to do. Amen? I know this. I'm going to do what he's requiring me to do. And I'm asking those at this church, put on some good teaching. I'm not talking about the stuff you've heard and heard. I'm talking about what God is leading you to now. Amen. I'm not talking about conspiracy theory stuff and fear stuff. I'm talking about, even if it's about the end times, that it's about him returning, about what he wants us to do, how he wants us to shine. Amen. how he wants us to save souls. Let's get so full that the enemy is going to completely freak out that everybody is betrayed. And let's pray that the internet stays, amen, and the television, especially the internet. But let everybody use that and use it wisely as a time of training in between whatever work you're doing, wherever you can, you know, just take seriously letting God train you up in this hour. God bless you guys. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.